Welcome to the Tabernacle of David Restored. Please enjoy this teaching by Jaco van der Merwe. I hope that you enjoy this teaching.
Let's begin with lesson 2 of our study. Jeremiah study, History of the Kings, part 1, lesson 2. 2 Kings chapter 15 and 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and 27. Matthew 23, 8 to 10. But you must not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, Christ, and you are all brothers. And call no one your father on the earth, for one is your father in heaven, nor be called teachers, for one is your teacher, even Christ. 2 Timothy 3 verse 13 to 17. But evil men and seducers will go forward to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a babe you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected throughout furnishing to every good work. Colossians 2, verse 8 to 12. Beware lest anyone rob you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through the faith of the working of God, raising him from the dead. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Those weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? For precept must be on precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little, there a little. For with slammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people. To whom he said, This is the rest, cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they were not willing to hear. But the word of Jehovah was to them precept on precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. In the introduction last week, I briefly mentioned the kings of the house of Judah and the house of Israel, and we looked at King Amaziah and King Jeroboam II. I explained the interaction between King Amaziah and King Jehoash, the father of Jeroboam. King Amaziah started out righteous and did that which was right, but not like King David did. There was a peace treaty between the two houses of Israel, and Amaziah asked King Jehoash to assist him with the uprising from the Edomites who lived down in the Valley of Salt, today known as Petra. Yahweh sent a prophet to King Amaziah and told him that he should not go to war with the house of Israel because they did not walk righteously with him, but that he would strengthen the armies of the house of Judah and that they would have victory. This caused a lot of tension between the two houses, and the armies of the northern house raided some cities of Judah on their way back home. King Amaziah brought the riches of the Edomites to Jerusalem, and with it also their idols, and he started to worship the gods of the Edomites. Yahweh was angry at this, and he sent a prophet to speak to King Amaziah, but he would not listen. Yahweh then hardened King Amaziah's heart so that he reacted against the raids of the house of Israel, and the two houses went to war. The house of Judah lost that war, and Jerusalem got sacked, and all the riches gained from the Edomite invasion was taken away. After the death of King Jehoash, his son Jeroboam took the throne in Samaria. We call him Jeroboam II because he has the same name than the first king of the house of Israel, who was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. King Jeroboam II ruled for 41 years and walked in the sins of the first king Jeroboam. Yahweh felt sorry for the people of the house of Israel, so he sent Jonah the prophet to give counsel to King Jeroboam on how to defend the borders of Israel. I also brought the prophet Amos into the context of King Jeroboam. Amos prophesied to the northern tribes of Israel. He brought a message of destruction of all Israel, both the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The response of the elders in the house of Israel was that Amos should go to the house of Judah and go tell them to repent. Our first king for discussion in our lesson is King Azariah from Judah. He is also called King Uzziah, and unless the text name him as Azariah, I will be using his name as King Uzziah. I will start reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 1. Uzziah reigns in Judah. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecholiah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought Elohim in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of Elohim. And as long as he sought Jehovah, Elohim made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and broke down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Gebneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities around Ashdod, and among the Philistines. And Elohim helped him against the Philistines, and against the Arabians that dwelt in Ger Baal, and the Munites. And the Ammonites gave tribute to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entrance of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, and at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert, and dug many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, farmers also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men that went out to war by divisions, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the head of the fathers of the mighty men of bravery was 2,600. And under their hand there was an army, 307,500, that made war with mighty power, to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the army, shields, spears, helmets, and body armor, and bows and slings that cast stone. And he made in Jerusalem machines, invented by skilled men, to be on the towers and upon the corners, to shoot arrows and great stones with. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. King Uzziah was prosperous for as long as he sought after Yahweh. And he was prosperous indeed, for Yahweh blessed him, and he managed to build up a mighty army by which he could push back the enemies of Israel. He was also known throughout all the land because of his armies. He also fortified and strengthened the walls of Jerusalem and many of the cities of Judah. Looking at verse 14, we can see that King Uzziah invested in decent equipment for his troops and fortifications. I am going to continue reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 26 from verse 16. Uzziah's pride and punishment. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction, for he transgressed against Yahweh his Elohim, and went into the holies of the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of Yahweh that were brave men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said to him, "This has nothing to do with you, Uzziah, to burn incense to Yahweh, for only for the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are set apart to burn incense. Go out of the set apart place, for you have trespassed, neither shall it be for your honor before Yahweh Elohim." Then Uzziah was angry, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of Yahweh, from besides the incense altar. And Azariah the head priest, And all the priests looked upon him, and see, he was leprous in his forehead, and they threw him out from there. He himself hurried to get out, because Yahweh had struck him. And Uzziah the king was a leper to the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of Yahweh. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, giving judgment and right rulings to the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, the first and last, was recorded by Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial that belonged to the kings. For they said, "He is a leper," and Jotham his son reigned in his place. Let us read some wisdom given by King Solomon in Proverbs. Proverbs 11 verse 2 and 13 verse 10. Pride comes, then shame comes, but with the lowly is wisdom. Only by pride comes argument, but with those who take advice is wisdom. We serve a God of humbleness. Yahweh is our God and our King, and we are all His servants. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 22 to 24 and read what Yahweh said about sacrifices. For I did not speak to your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But I commanded them this thing, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, so that it may be well with you. But they did not listen, nor bow their ear, but walked in their own plans, in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Yahweh gave specific instruction about who to do the sacrifices and who burned the incense. And He gave these instructions not because He delights in mortal man to kill animals and burn incense, also not because of importance of the priests above kings. So who knows what the king Uzziah was thinking? Did he covet the position of the priests, being able to burn incense? Pride cost him his health. He should have died, but the mercy of Yahweh spared him. He was humbled for life. Everything regarding the temple and the functions of the priests had a purpose. We read in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5 and 10 verse 1 that the high priest and the sacrifices was a shadow of things to come. Maybe there was another reason for King Uzziah to want to go and burn incense in the temple. Let's have a look at Psalms 110. A Psalm of David. Jehovah said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I place your enemies as your footstool. Jehovah shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power, in holy adornment from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Jehovah has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at your right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill them with dead bodies. He shall shatter their heads over much of the earth. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore he shall lift up the head. Uzziah grew up in the time when a priest named Zechariah understood the visions of Yahweh. This was a psalm and a prophecy from King David. Could it be that the prophecies of a king Messiah who will judge this world went to Uzziah's head, and he thought himself to be the savior of his people? In the king part of his office he excelled well, but being a priest also, this was not his calling. The Messiah, the one that would save Israel, was to come from the descendants of David, and Uzziah found out the hard way that it was not him, even with all his success as a king. Now, the prophet Isaiah started to give prophecy regarding Israel in the time of King Uzziah. Let's go have a look at some of the verses of the opening chapters of Isaiah. These would have been written in the time when Jerusalem and Judah were still devastated by what happened in the last days and before the death of King Amaziah, after he adopted the Edomite religion and Yahweh came up against him. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1 to 4. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. The wickedness of Judah. The ox knows its owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe, sinful nation, a people heavy with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, sons who corrupt. They have forsaken Jehovah. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward. The ox knows its owner, and the ass his master's crib. In the following writings of Isaiah, Yahweh will elaborate on this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21 to 27. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your rulers are rebellious, and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe, and is pursuing rewards. They do not judge the orphan, nor does the cause of the widow come to them. And the Lord Jehovah of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, says, Alas, I will ease myself of my foes, and avenge myself of my enemies. And I will turn back my hand on you, and purge away your dross as with lye, and take away all your alloy. And I will restore your judges as the first, and your counselors as the beginning. Afterwards you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and the returning ones with righteousness. Yahweh have already started to give hints on how he will clean up and redeem Jerusalem, Israel, and the land. I am not going to elaborate on this, since this is a history on the kings and the introduction to Jeremiah, but we will look into this in part 3 of our study when we discuss the book of Jeremiah. The context of the kings Amaziah and Uzziah tell us what the reason was that Yahweh spoke these words to Uzziah. In verse 26, Isaiah refers to the beginning. How far back is this beginning that Isaiah is referring to? The answer goes beyond the scope of this study, but I feel that it is important to mention that Isaiah writes about this concept in chapter 40 to 48. Remember that we must get biblical understanding from biblical writings, and I don't think it is a coincidence that Isaiah elaborated on the concept of the end being declared from the beginning. Kimberly Rogers Brown have a teaching on the order of Melchizedek. You can find her teaching on our websites, tabernacleofdavidrestored.com or on themessianicmessage.com. Let us continue reading in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. The mountain of the Lord. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall be, in the last days the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, Come, and let us go to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go out the law, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Jehovah. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, and 24 to 26. Judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. For Jerusalem is a ruin, and Judah has fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against Jehovah, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look of their faces witnesses against them, and they declare their sins like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil to themselves. And it shall be, instead of sweet smell, there shall be an odor of decay, and instead of sash, a rope, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of rich robe, a wrapping of sackcloth, burning instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she shall sit deserted on the ground. The brands of the Lord glorified. Isaiah 4, verse 2 to 6. In that day shall the brands of Jehovah be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth excellent and commonly for those who have escaped from Israel. And it shall be, he who is left in Zion, and he who remains in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one who is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from its midst, by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning. And Jehovah will create over all the site of Mount Zion, and on her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flame fire by night, for on all the glory shall be a defence. And there shall be a booth for a shade by day from the heat, and for a refuge, and for a hiding place from the storm and rain. Amos already declared the destruction of the whole of Israel. Hosea also prophesied about the coming destruction. We will have a look at this in a little while. Isaiah mentioned destruction on Jerusalem, but we also have Isaiah declaring that Israel and Jerusalem would be restored again and that there will be a coming Redeemer. Here is the thing. The whole house of Israel, especially Judah, went through a devastating time just with their last king, King Amaziah, not to mention in previous times when they had kings walking away from Yahweh. They had no idea what this coming of Messiah and the restoration of the kingdom would look like. Every righteous king walking with Yahweh hoped himself to be the king Messiah. But rather than asking, King Uzziah assumed him to be this redeemer, and he lost his health by trying to be a priest as well. Just because Jerusalem was restored from ruin in his day does not mean it is prophecy fulfilled. Let's bring the prophet Isaiah into our study of King Uzziah and read from Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Isaiah's vision of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I then saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphs. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, the whole earth full of his glory. And the doorposts moved at the voice of the one who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I saw, Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwelt in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, having a live coal in his hand, snatched with the tongues from the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, You hear indeed, but do not understand, and seeing you see, but do not know. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn back, and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities are wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land laid waste, a desolation. And until Jehovah has moved men far away, and the desolation in the midst of the land is great. But yet, in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and be consumed like the tabernacle and like the oak being felled, yet has a stump, the holy seed is its stump. You hear indeed, but do not understand, and seeing you see, but do not know. King Uzziah heard, but he did not understand. He saw, but he did not know what he had seen. This prophecy is with us even until today. This is the blindness that Paul was referring to in Romans 11, verse 25. How many different views are there about end-time prophecy today? Let us read Romans 11, 25 and 26. For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, lest you should be wise within yourselves. The blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the nations has come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. all of Israel have blindness in part, meaning both houses, house of Judah and house of Ephraim, all 12 tribes are blinded in part about the redemption plan of Yahweh, which will only be fulfilled once all prophecy is completed and Messiah gathers his people, as we read in Matthew 24 verse 29 to 31. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. During the time of King Uzziah, Israel, the northern house of Ephraim, had 6 kings. Some of them did not live long. Let's quickly go through 5 of these kings. I am going to read from 2 Kings chapter 15. Zechariah reigns in Israel. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. Remember that King Azariah is also called King Uzziah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, as his father had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Shallum, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him, and killed him before the people, and reigned in his place. This was the word of Jehovah which he spoke to Jehu, saying, Your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. And so it came to pass. In verse 12, we read that the sons of Jehu will sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. For a sense of completeness, let's have a quick look at King Jehu of Israel. There was a king in Israel with the name of Ahab. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of Yahweh above all kings that was before him. And if it was not bad enough that he walked in the sins of Jeroboam, the first king of Israel, he married Jezebel, the daughter of Eth-Baal, king of the Sidonians. He went and served Baal. He also set up Ashtaroth and did more than any other king to provoke Yahweh. This happened in a time that Elijah and Elisha were prophets in Israel. You can read about their stories from 1 Kings chapter 16 to 2 Kings chapter 8. Ahab and Jezebel was responsible for much in Israel, and Yahweh declared that he would bring an end to the family of Ahab. Athaliah married Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. The wickedness of Ahab and Israel came down with their daughter to all of Judah. Athaliah was the daughter of Jezebel, the Sidonian priestess of Baal. Sidon is in the modern day of Lebanon today. After Jehoram, Ahaziah, the son of Athaliah, became the king of Judah. In this time there was a military alliance between Ephraim and Judah. When we read in our text that Yahweh blamed Israel for the sins of Judah, it is in reference to what happened in the time of Jezebel and her daughter Athaliah. The military leader of this coalition of the two armies of the king of Judah and Israel was Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Please take note that this is not the same Jehoshaphat that was king of Judah a couple of generations earlier. The prophet Elisha sent one of the sons of the prophets who went and anointed Jehu as the king of Israel, but under a condition. He was to bring an end to the house of Ahab. So Jehu killed both Jehoram, the king of Israel, and King Ahaziah of Judah. He executed Jezebel and then went after Ahab's family and brought an end to them. Because of his deeds, Yahweh blessed him to be the king over Israel. Jehu killed the Baal priest and removed Baal worship out of Israel, but he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam the first. Yahweh blessed Jehu to have a descendant on the throne up until the fourth generation. The descendants of Jehu who became kings of Israel after him was Jehoahaz, Jehoash, Jeroboam II, and then Zechariah. King Zechariah was the last of the sons of Jehu to be crowned king. He was also the last authorized king of Israel from Yahweh, Hosea 8 verse 3 to 5, and with his death the prophecy of Jehu and his sons becoming kings was fulfilled. Let's read Hosea 8 verse 3 to 5. Israel has thrown off good, the enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made rulers, and I knew it not. They have made themselves idols with their silver and their gold, so that they may be cut off. Your calf, O Samaria, has cast you off. My anger is kindled against them. Until when will they not attain purity? Next we have King Shallum. I'll be reading 2 Kings chapter 15 from verse 13. Shallum reigns in Israel. Shallum, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned a full month in Samaria. For Menachem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria, and killed Shallum, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria, and reigned in his place. Then Menachem destroyed Tifsha and all that were in it, and the borders from Tirzah, because they did not open to him. Therefore he killed them, and all the women in it that were with child he ripped open. 2 Kings chapter 15 from verse 17. Menachem reigns in Israel. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menachem, the son of Gadi, to reign over Israel, and he reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menachem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menachem exacted the silver of Israel, even of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver, to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. And Menachem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah his son reigned in his place. Let's repeat verse 19. And Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menachem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. The Assyrian attacked the northern tribes of Israel, and Menachem had to pay a tribute to stay on the throne. I believe it is safe to say that the northern tribes became a vassal of Assyria. King Menachem of Israel became a subject of the king of Assyria, and technically the land of Israel now belonged to the Assyrian kingdom. King Menachem would stay on the throne of Israel to manage these lands instead of Assyria appointing one of their own as a governor. A treaty like this would mean that Israel had to pay tribute on a regular basis, else be threatened with war. King Pekahiah of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 15 from verse 23. In the 50th year of Uzziah king of Judah, Pekahiah the son of Menachem became to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned for 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him, and killed him in Samaria, in the palace of the king's house, with Argob and Ariah, and with him 50 men of the Galadites, and he killed him, and reigned in his place. King Pekah of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 15 from verse 27. In the 52nd year of Azariah, also Uzziah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the day of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ivan, and Abel-Beth-Machah, and Jonah, and Kadesh, and Hazar, and Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. And Hosea the son of Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah the son of Remaliah, smote him and killed him, and reigned in his place, in the 20th year of Jotham the son of Uzziah. King Pekahiah son of Menachem would still be a vassal king for the king of Assyria. When Pekah killed Pekahiah, it could be considered a rebellion against the Assyrian rule of Israel and had the result of war. Tiglath-Pileser is a title for an Assyrian king, much like Pharaoh is a title to an Egyptian one. The Assyrians captured a lot of territory of Israel for themselves and took many captives to the land of Assyria. The capital of Assyria was Nineveh. Our text here is very limited, and it is possible that King Pekah had war with the Assyrian for most of his rule over Israel. Also keep in mind that the prophet Jonah was alive during these times, and that many of the captives of Israel could have ended up in Nineveh. So far, all the kings of Israel mentioned in the study walked in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I am going to briefly discuss this. King Solomon loved many women, and took wives from the daughters of the nations of which Yahweh forbid, and in his old age they made him turn away from Yahweh to worship other gods. He went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonites, and after Malcham, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and did not go fully after Yahweh like his father David did. So Yahweh told Solomon that he will tear away 10 tribes from the house of Judah after his death because of this, and that it will be given to his servant. Because of the sins of Solomon, Yahweh raised up enemies against Israel. Solomon strengthened his defenses and found Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and made him ruler over all the charges of the house of Joseph. The house of Joseph is the tribes north of Jerusalem, and in this time of the chronology, it included the house of Benjamin. So Jeroboam became the in-between man between the king and the people of the northern tribes. Because of Solomon's sin, Yahweh sent a prophet to Jeroboam and gave him 10 of the 12 tribes to be king over them after the death of Solomon. Jeroboam had to flee and stayed in Egypt until Solomon's death. After the death of Solomon, Rehoboam his son became the king of all Israel. King Solomon, because of the war, taxed tribes heavily and made them work very hard to fortify the cities. Rehoboam was to be crowned in Shechem, so the people of Israel called Jeroboam from Egypt to be a spokesperson for them to the king. The people asked that Rehoboam lightened the burden that Solomon placed on them. The text in scripture alludes to that Solomon was driving them like slaves. Rehoboam's reply to the people was that he would drive them even harder and make their burdens heavier. So the northern tribes of Israel rebelled, and they made Jeroboam their king. None of the tribes except Judah followed King Rehoboam. Rehoboam wanted to raise an army with those still loyal to him, but Yahweh sent him a messenger that he should not, and he didn't. So he built cities to strengthen Judah instead. In other words, the tribe of Judah was removed from Israel, but they were still part of Israel, being Yahweh's people. So this is where the two house concept come from. We have Ephraim, the northern tribes of Israel, called Israel, and we have Judah, the southern tribe of Israel, called Judah. Both were still Yahweh's people, descendants of Jacob, called Israel. The principle of the office to be king of Israel is conditional. It is to keep the ordinances and statutes of Yahweh. Jeroboam did not. Instead, this is what he did. He built himself the city of Shechem. God's chosen place of worship was still Jerusalem, but Jeroboam was afraid that if the people go down to Jerusalem for the feasts, their heart will be turned and they will rather walk after the house of David and follow Rehoboam. Jeroboam felt insecure with his given position as king. So he took counsel and built 2 golden calves and told the people that they don't have to go down to Jerusalem, but can worship the golden calves and do sacrifices in their own land. He also built temples on the high places for worship. Then he made a new feast in the 8th month for the people of Israel to celebrate. The priests and Levites did not take part in this, and they left their cities and lands in the house of Israel and joined with the tribe of Judah. So Jeroboam created his own priesthood and later declared himself to be a priest and did sacrifices. This was an abomination to Yahweh, and God's final decree to Jeroboam was to not just take the throne away from him, but that Israel will be scattered. Let's have a look at 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 14 to 16. And Jehovah shall rise up a king over Israel for himself, a king who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day, and what, even now, for Jehovah shall strike Israel as the reed weaves in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their asteroths, provoking Yahweh to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned, and that he made Israel to sin. All the kings of the northern tribes walked in the sin of Jeroboam. They used their own priesthood, did not go to the feast in Jerusalem, and did sacrifices to golden calves, as it was set up by Jeroboam. King Zechariah, son of Jeroboam the second, son of Jehu, was the last authorized king over Israel in our story. The rest of the kings of the northern house was all murderers who seized the throne through violence and murder. After King David, there was only one king that was raised up over the whole house of Israel. This is King Messiah, Yeshua, who took a temporary leave of absence after his resurrection, but he is coming back soon. King Jotham of Judah. Jotham judged the house of Judah in the time that his father had leprosy. He became king of Judah after the death of his father, King Uzziah. I am going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 1 to 6 and verse 9. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Tzadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that his father Uzziah did. However, he entered not into the holies of the temple of Yahweh, and the people did still act corruptly. He built the high gates of the house of Yahweh, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He thought also of the king of the Ammonites, and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him in that same year 100 talents of silver, and 10,000 measures of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay to him, both the second year and third year. So Jotham became mighty, because he prepared his ways before Yahweh his Elohim. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his place. King Ahaz of Judah, 2 Kings chapter 16 from verse 1. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not which was right in the sight of Yahweh his Elohim, unlike David his father. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense in the temple of idols, and on the hills, and under every green tree. Then Razin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. That time Rezin, king of Aram, recovered Elath for Syria, and drove the men of Judah from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath, and dwelt in there to this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up, and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram, and out of the hand of the king of Israel, who rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of Yahweh, and in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria listened to him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus, and took it, and carried the people of it captive to Kir, and killed Rezin, the king of Assyria. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was in Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah, The priest sketched of the altar and its pattern according to all its workmanship. Urjah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz has sent for Damascus. So Urjah the priest made it before King Ahaz came from Damascus. And when the king had come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached the altar and offered on it. And he burnt its burnt offering and his grain offering, and poured his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offering upon the altar. And he brought also the bronze altar which was before Yahweh from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of Yahweh, and put it on the north side of the altar. And King Ahaz commanded Urjah the priest, saying, Upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering, and the evening grain offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice, and his grain offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their grain offering, and their drink offerings, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering, and all the blood of the sacrifices, and the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire by. This did Urjah the priest according to all that King Ahaz commanded. And King Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases, and removed the laver from off them, and took down the huge laver from off the bronze oxen that were under it, and put it upon pavement of stones, and the shelter for the Shabbat that they had built in the house, and the king's entry outside he took from the house of Jehovah for the king of Assyria. And Ahaz slept with his father, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his place. King Ahaz was a wicked king in the eyes of Yahweh. He sacrificed at the temples of the idols, the temples that his father did not get rid of in the kingdom. As explained earlier about King Jeroboam the son of Nebat, is that he set up his own priesthood, created golden calves, and spoke against going to Jerusalem for the feasts. With King Ahaz, walking in the ways of the kings of Israel would imply that he walked in the ways of Jeroboam as well. All the kings of Israel walked like the king Jeroboam did. If this was not bad enough, he made his children pass through the fire. Just to be clear on the understanding of this, let us read 2 Chronicles 28 verse 3 and compare it with what Yahweh accused Judah of before their destruction. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his sons in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom Yahweh has cast out before the sons of Israel. In Jeremiah, when Yahweh tells the house of Judah what their sins are, we read the following from Jeremiah 19 verse 2 to verse 5. And go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom by the entry of Postret Gate, and there declare the words that I shall tell you. And say, Hear the words of Jehovah, O kings of Judah, and people of Jerusalem. So says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring evil on this place, which shall cause the ears of him who hear it to tingle. Because they have forsaken me, and have made this place famous, and have burnt incense in it to other gods whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor did the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocent, they have also built the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire with burnt offerings to Baal, which I never commanded nor spoke, nor did it come into my mind. Ahaz, after the Israel-Syria invasion was repelled, went to Damascus to meet the king of Assyria. Now to add to all the abominations which Judah was already guilty of, Ahaz took the blueprint of the altar in Damascus and built a copy of it in the temple of Yahweh. King Ahaz himself made offerings on this altar. He also made the priests do the daily offerings of Yahweh on this new abomination of an altar. In the book of Kings, we only read that Syria and Israel could not overcome Ahaz, the king of Judah. In Chronicles, it gives us a bit more detail of what happened during the incursion between Judah and the Israel and Syrian alliance. Next week, we will read about the destruction of Judah in 2 Chronicles. This will conclude our study on the kings of Israel this week. Next week we will look into the result of the sin of King Ahaz and how this caused the destruction of the house of Judah. Let us do a quick overview of what we discussed in today's teaching. We started with King Azariah, who is also called King Uzziah. King Uzziah reigned from the 27th year of King Jeroboam II and reigned for 52 years. He did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, but the temples of the idols were not removed. He became a strong military king, but he did not understand the plan of Yahweh, and he wanted to burn incense in the temple. Yahweh struck him with leprosy, and his son Jotham judged Judah in his stead. The kings of Israel that reigned during the time of Uzziah was King Zechariah, Shallum, Menahem, Pekahiah, and Pekah. All of them walked in the sins of Jeroboam of Nebat. King Zechariah was the last of the descendants of King Jehu on the throne of the house of Ephraim. It was Jehu who became king after he killed King Ahab and Jezebel. King Zechariah took the throne on the 38th year of King Uzziah, but only ruled for 6 months and was killed by Shallum, who took his place as king. Shallum took the throne in the 39th year of King Uzziah, but only ruled for a month, after which Menahem killed him and took his place on the throne. Menahem was attacked by Assyria and had to pay a hefty tribute to stay on the throne of Israel. He ruled for 10 years, after which his son Pekahiah ruled. King Pekahiah ruled from the 50th year of King Uzziah of the house of Judah and ruled for 2 years, before he was killed by Pekah, who took his place on the throne. King Pekah reigned from the 52nd year of King Uzziah. He reigned for 20 years and walked in the sins of Jeroboam the first. He made war against the house of Judah during the time of King Ahaz and took many captives. King Jotham was the judge during the time that his father, King Uzziah, had leprosy and became king after Uzziah's death. He, King Jotham, walked right with Yahweh, but the people of Judah still acted corruptly. He fortified Judah and defeated the Ammonites. His son Ahaz became king after his death. The last king we discussed was King Ahaz of Judah. He was the son of Jotham, but he did not walk righteous like his father did. Ahaz reigned from the 17th year of King Pekah of Israel and reigned for 16 years. Yahweh raised up an alliance between King Pekah of Israel and Rezin, king of Syria, who attacked the house of Judah. But Ahaz got help from Assyria, and after they assisted, he started to worship the gods of the Assyria. He even replaced the altar of Yahweh at the temple in Jerusalem. Ahaz also made himself guilty of child sacrifice, which is an abomination in the sight of Yahweh. Join us next week as we continue in our study into the chronology of the kings of Israel. Thank you and God bless. Shalom.
Join us every Tuesday online to discuss the Jeremiah study and learn more about Israel's true national identity. Email Kimberly at tabernacleofdavidrestored.com for full details.